morning, what I want to do is something that we normally do, and that is pray. And so I want to pray for us. And I want to pray that God would be at work in a special way. And what we're going to be doing as we look at God's Word is, we're going to be doing probably what you would hope. We're going to be talking about Jesus. A Christmas service, right? You're hoping that we're going to be talking about Jesus. But one of the things that I think is possible as I was praying about it and thinking about it this morning is this, is that it's possible in religion and in church to be talking about Jesus like he's someone out there. Almost like a theoretical Jesus if he existed. And what I know is this, is I know that each and every one of us this morning need the rest that we're going to be talking about this morning. Each and every one of us need the rest that only comes from Jesus Christ. Some of us this morning are honestly really struggling. Things going on in our life, things going on in our heart and mind, that life is really difficult. But no matter where you're at, what we need this morning is I'm going to be doing my best to talk about Jesus and to talk about who he is. But what we need is to actually encounter Jesus. Think about this. And this, I had an emotional moment as we were singing. This morning, we're not just talking about Jesus who is out there. Jesus Christ is actually with us this morning. Do you believe that? Here with us is Jesus. And so no matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on, the greatest need that you have can only be met in this person, the man Jesus Christ. So let's pray and let's ask that each one of us would, yes, that we would hear the words of Scripture, but that we would actually encounter our living Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just open up our arms. We open up our hearts and our minds to you this morning. God, I know that we are a busy people. And God, as we are here this morning, there's a good chance that many of us would describe ourselves as tired. And Father, there are a lot of things going on in our hearts and our minds. There are battles that are oftentimes completely, God, that are unseen. Father, I pray this morning as we talk about your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray that each one of us would experience him. That we would sense that he is here with us. That the wounds that are in our heart, the fears that are in our heart, the anxiety that is in our heart, that all of it, that we would be able to give that away and release that, and we would be able to find the rest that we so desperately need. So Father, we just invite you, we invite your Holy Spirit to be at work in a very powerful way. God, it's not based on what we deserve or our merit. God, it's just completely because of your grace. Please, Father, do your work in our hearts and in our church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I'll go ahead and give you a heads up as we are about to dig into this sermon this morning and talking about rest. The passage that we're going to be looking at is found in Matthew 11:28. Matthew 11, and we're going to be looking at verses 28, 29, and 30. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. I would definitely encourage you every Sunday as we get together to bring your Bible. We won't be doing church without looking at the Bible. That will always be the case. But as you are turning there, allow me to kind of set the stage for us. Did you know, have you ever sensed that we Americans are terrible when it comes to rest? You ever sensed that before? That we Americans, we are terrible when it comes to rest. Part of our American culture is that we are a hard-working people, right? This is something that we know about our DNA as Americans. This is something that other countries know about America as well, is that we are a hard-working people. And part of that is a good thing. Our God is a worker. Work is not bad. Work existed before the fall ever happened. Work is not a result of the fall. Work is an aspect of who God is. And as we work, we actually reflect who God is. Work in itself is not a bad thing. But here's the problem for you and I, is that all too often, we overwork. We work too much. We get far too busy. We are busy with work. We are busy with hobbies. We are busy with sports. We are busy people. And honestly, many times what we do is, this is maybe something that's kind of subtle, we actually wear this busyness as a badge of honor. And you can hear people kind of revealing that, like, oh, I am so busy this week. It's almost like a little badge that we have. And we kind of want other people to know how busy we are. Because somewhere, like in the deepest parts of our heart, we think that reflects maybe our worth. Maybe it's become part of our identity. And truthfully, the fact that we are overworking really shouldn't be a badge of honor. It should be something, are you ready? It should be something that we repent of. It should be something that we are confessing to God when we are overworking, when we are too busy. But this is a characteristic of us as Americans. So this morning, we're going to be talking about rest. And physical rest is very important. I think that's a part of it. But for our purposes this morning, we're going to be talking about the rest that our soul needs and can only be found in Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. And with that said, I will read for us. Very famous words. Maybe this is a passage of scripture that you don't normally equate with a Christmas sermon. But what Jesus is doing in these verses is he's telling us why he came. And as we think about baby Jesus over here, we want to know, well, why did he come? What's the purpose? He tells us here, verse 28. New Life Church, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, for you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just three verses, right? Just three verses. But I think that as you, in the past, have read those verses, or even as you hear them this morning, I would imagine, I would like to think that there's something within your spirit that just resonates with that. That as you hear that, there's something about these words of Jesus that fills you with a sense of longing. What in the world does Jesus mean by this rest? And then I think part of that reaction that we feel in our heart is that we know that we need it. We're not right now really exactly sure what all that means. But even as we think about those words, we're like, man, my heart this week has not been restful. I've been filled with anxiety. I've been filled with worry. I've been filled with depression. I've been filled with all kinds of thoughts. But as I sit here this morning, as we drove in as a family, you would not characterize me as being at rest. So as you hear those words, and I've been kind of meditating on them all week, I think, that's what I need. This is what I want. I want this. So let me just give you a little bit of background. We've done that over the past couple Sundays, like kind of the big picture historical background, what was going on at this time when Jesus was on earth. So I'm going to skip that. And I just want to give us a little background for this immediate passage right here. I think that we'll shed a little light and help us to understand why Jesus is saying this in the first place. First of all, Jesus is talking, as he says this, to, by and large, to religious people like you and me. As Jesus is giving these words and talking about rest, he is talking to very religious people. He's talking to people who go to church all the time. He's talking to people who are very busy in their religious activity. But here's the thing that Jesus knows. He knows that the people that he's talking to have gotten very busy with their religion, but they've forgotten the heart of their religion. Think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, right? These are people who they had taken the Old Testament. They had taken the laws and the Ten Commandments that God had given them, and then they had made rules and traditions one after another. So as Jesus comes to earth and he's given this teaching, he is talking to a group of people who are absolutely weary with religion. It's religion that has made them so tired. They're constantly striving. They're constantly trying to do things in order to please God. And Jesus is saying, you don't need to do that. You just need to come to me. Everyone who's weary, just come to me. These claims by Christ are bold claims, are they not? Come to me. So, as we think about this, this is not just any group of people that he's talking to. He's talking to religious people who understood the Old Testament, but somewhere along the way, they had lost sight of what it really means to know God and to love him and to keep him first. They were weary, they were tired, they were burdened, and many of them were feeling miserable. After all, if a religion is devoid of Jesus Christ, there's nothing that it can do for you. It can offer no hope if it's religion outside of the person of Jesus Christ. Let me give you a quick definition of rest. This is according to Strong's Greek Concordance. Quote, to give rest, give intermission. I like that from labor. And by implication, to refresh. So as Jesus is talking about, come to me and I'm going to give you rest, there's a sense of all of their striving, all of their working, everything that they are working so hard to do. Now they can take a rest from that. And when they take a rest from that, they can actually be refreshed in the deepest part of who they are. This morning, wouldn't you like to experience that? Wouldn't you like to experience a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revival? Where does a spiritual revival come from for you? It comes in the form of Jesus coming to earth. It comes to us in this Son of God that came to earth. It comes to us through Jesus Christ. Let me give you a few signs, and really it's under one banner, but let me give you one sign with a number of different descriptions, signs that you need rest. Any of you feel like you need rest this morning? Don't raise your hand. Look at you. Any of you feel a little bit tired? You're just not making eye contact. That's okay. So that's you. One of the signs that we know that we need rest is that we're beginning to feel burned out. And allow me to describe that a little bit. This is me thinking about it. What does it look like to need rest, to be burnt out? You are anxious and worried. You are lacking in grace, kindness, and compassion towards others. You are moody. You are grumpy. You are drawn back towards bad habits, sins, and addictions. I'm going to say that again. You're beginning to feel that you're drawn back towards bad habits, sin, and addiction. There's like that old life that you knew. There's that dark side of you that we have called the sin nature. And lately, you know, you recognize it has more power in your life than it used to. You're more tempted than you used to be. And this is different for all of us. And the reason for that is because you're not finding the rest that you need. How about this? You are apathetic. Physically, you're here this morning, but your heart's not really here. You're lacking in passion for God and for spiritual things. Do any of those things register on your list of where you're at this morning? There's a good chance. I would imagine that I believe the high percentage of us here this morning know Christ. I would imagine that there's also a very high percentage of us this morning who feel like we still need rest in Christ. Let me give you an example. Can I give you an example of burnout? Yes, great. Let's talk about Tom. This is not to reflect anyone here by the name of Tom. I occasionally just make up fictitious names. So if you're Tom, this is not about you necessarily. Tom is beginning to feel overwhelmed with life. Work is stressful, and at work they expect too much from him. He is also noticing that his home life is struggling too. He has become grouchy with his wife and kids. Tom is not reading the Bible and praying like he used to. Secretly, as we just talked about, Tom is feeling pulled back to old sinful habits. But in his mind, he is making justifications for all of this. He's giving rationale for it. After all, he's tired. After all, people don't understand what he's really going through. No one gets him. He just needs a break. What's so wrong with some of these diversions that he's taking? What's so wrong with it? And so maybe this morning, you're feeling a little bit like Tom this morning. Here's what Tom needs to know. Here's what you and I need to know. The problem that Tom is having is not NOT with his circumstances, his job, his wife, or his kids. The problem is that Tom is not resting in Jesus Christ. So what Tom could do is he could spend all of his time thinking about work, thinking about circumstances, and this is why I am responding so poorly. Scripture never gives us that option. Instead, what Scripture tells us is that all of our behavior comes from where? This is an important gospel question. Where does our behavior come from? It comes from our heart, right? Jesus could not make this any more clear. And so the reason that Tom is responding so poorly to the circumstances around him is because his heart is not where it should be. And so for you and I, if we want to find the solution in the gospel, which is what we're going to be talking about this morning, we have to know where the problem is. The problem is not with your spouse. The problem is not with your kids. The problem is not with the workplace or with your boss or with your church. That's not where the problem is. The problem is that our heart is not where it should be. And so our heart attempting to find rest, it's going to make us really busy. We are busy doing things in life because our heart is navigating us in that direction. So it's important to understand where the problem comes from. If Tom, or if you, or if I would slow down, if Tom would just slow down a little bit and just spend some time in the presence of Jesus Christ, he would hear this: "Come to me, Tom, to find the rest that your soul so desperately needs." He would hear these words and he'd begin to sense that the Holy Spirit is giving him the strength that he needs. So let me ask you a question. So how are you doing? Would you say as you came in here this morning that your soul, your heart is filled with this kind of rest? Or would you say, no, Pastor Michael, I would say that this is something that I need to experience. I'm not where I should be. I desperately need this kind of rest. I need it. I'm sure that you need it as well. Let's ask a really important question right now. Let's go a little bit deeper when it comes to next point. What is biblical rest? You might be thinking, well, rest, that's something that Jesus talked about in the New Testament, and that's where we begin to learn about rest. That would be incorrect. The idea of rest is actually a huge theme in the pages of Scripture. Did you know that? In the very beginning, as God created the world, what did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Interesting. And then in the fourth commandment out of the Ten Commandments, what did he command his people to do? Is to rest, right? And to heed the Sabbath day. And so even from the very beginning, as God was designing you, as he was creating you, he created you in such a way that there is a hole in here in your heart, and it can only be filled up with the rest that he gives. Now, I certainly think in the Old Testament, part of that was physical rest. Certainly, that's important, and we overlook physical rest all the time. But again, he's talking about something deeper. How do we know that he's talking about something deeper? Listen, the Sabbath foreshadowed the fact that one day Jesus Christ would come to earth as a baby. Even the Sabbath itself was pointing to Jesus Christ. In Matthew 12:8, we read this. Listen, "For the Son of Man is Lord of" what? Of the Sabbath. So Jesus was communicating that this rest, that God's people need. And it's not just God's people, it's all people need. He's saying that he is even in a position of authority over that. And really the reason for that is because he's saying, I am the rest that you need. The rest that we were talking about in the Old Testament, all of it was pointing towards me. That rest that God wanted to give his people in the promised land, even the promised land was pointing to the rest that God's people would have in Jesus Christ. If you've ever heard me say that the Bible is continually showing a spotlight on the person of Jesus Christ, you see that as you think about this theme of rest. Everything in Scripture is pointing to our need for Jesus Christ. And I believe this next point, and did I just go fast as we talked about rest as a theme in Scripture? Certainly, there are books that have been written about this. And I would encourage you to read those books, of course. But we have to move on. So let me ask this next question that's important. What keeps us from experiencing this kind of rest? What keeps us from experiencing? And I would just ask you, in your own mind right now, what do you think is keeping you from this rest in Jesus? I would seriously ask you to identify that yourself right now. What is it? As you look back over this past week, if you're here this morning, you're like, I don't feel this spiritual refreshment. What we need to do is we need to begin identifying why. What was distracting you? Here's another way of looking at it. Where were you going to find rest? That leads, of course, very nicely to this point. Why? What are the reasons why we don't find rest? Let me give you the first one. I'm going to give you probably 6 or 7 reasons why we don't end up finding rest in Jesus and we end up getting so weary and fatigued. The first one is this. We are looking for rest in the wrong places. We're looking for rest in the wrong places. How many hours do you think collectively we spent this week, you and I, looking at a blue screen? Like 3, maybe 4 hours tops, all of us together. You're like, okay, I did that last night before I went to bed. I spent 3 or 4 hours on a blue screen. Did you know that studies tell us that the blue light that it's emitted from screens can delay the release of sleep-inducing melatonin? Did you know that? Studies tell us the more that you look at a blue screen, the less likely you are to rest. Wow. We look at blue screens all the time. You ever wonder what's going on in your heart that makes you keep looking at the blue screen? It's not just a behavior thing. It's your heart that's leading you there. There's something that you think you're going to find, and maybe it's just a diversion from what's really going on. But there's something on your heart that's leading you to that blue screen. And the truth of the matter is, the blue screen is just actually physically keeping you from being able to rest. We've talked about this before as a church. We know this for teens, right? If they are to spend hours looking at their phone before they go to sleep, they're not going to be able to sleep very well. Science. So we're looking for rest in the wrong places. We look in screens. How about in vacations? We won't find rest in a vacation. It's going to maybe kind of tweak you a little bit, bend you a little out of shape. Vacations are wonderful. We should take vacations. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Oh, he's anti-vacation. No, I'm not. That would be like the Grinch, right? I'm not anti-vacation. As a family, we take vacations. But here's the thing. How many times have you, be honest, have you gone on a vacation, come back home, and you're like, I need a vacation from my vacation? Why are you laughing? Because you know it's true, right? So many times we have gone away. Oh, I planned so long for this vacation. We come back home and I'm like, oh, I'm totally drained. I need like 3 days off just to recover. Here's the reason why is vacations are a good thing, but you can go on your vacation. I can go on my vacation and I might not be encountering Jesus Christ when I do it. And if I'm not encountering Jesus Christ when I do it, we're not going to be finding this biblical rest. So even on our vacation, we need to be walking with the Lord, don't we? So what we end up doing, this is an American thing. We think, oh, I'm going to burn myself out most of the year. And then finally, I'm going to go on vacation and that will make everything okay. Do we still believe that nonsense? You can't possibly live every day of your life where you have no margin in your life. You're tired all the time. Think you can go on vacation and come back and everything's going to be okay. We are not designed that way. We need to be finding rest on a daily basis. We won't find rest in our hobbies. Some of us think that we're going to find rest in our hobbies. Well, if I can just get to my knitting, I'm a big knitter. Did you know that about me? I don't really know what that is. It's fabric? Something? I don't know. Knitting's fine. You can knit all you want and you might not find rest. Men, you can go and kill the biggest deer possible. You can do that and think, well, that's my time. You can do that and not find rest. You could still be in a totally weakened spiritual state. And again, it doesn't mean knitting's wrong. It's silly. It doesn't mean vacations are wrong or hobbies are wrong. It's just we can do those things and think this is what's going to give me rest. And it doesn't. And you know it doesn't. We know it doesn't. So that's the first one. We find looking for rest in the wrong places. Number two, we are dominated by the tyranny of the urgent. How many of us feel that way? How many of you feel like we're kind of going from one emergency to another? We're just like reaction mode all the time. Our life is dominated by the tyranny of the urgent. Number three, we're always working and searching for more. This, in fact, is what the American economy is built on, right? The American economy is built on the fact that we are never going to really be satisfied. You wonder what would happen to our economy if everyone said, I have enough. Yikes. How many politicians tell us things like that? You have enough. Stop shopping. Our economy is built on this sense that we feel like we don't have enough. How many of you really need something else? How many of us really need something new? And again, what you have to ask is, what's going on in my heart where I'm buying this stuff that I know I don't really need it, and it's just going to end up in the garage or out in the shed someplace? What's going on in my heart? Many times what's going on in our heart is we're looking for some kind of satisfaction. We want a fix. We want a hit. We want to find this rest, and we're going to shop until we find it. When have you really rested because you were shopping? Raise your hand. Look around. Right. How about this one? Number four, we're always trying to prove ourselves. Maybe dad wasn't the man he should be. Maybe mom wasn't the woman she should be. Maybe our relationship with the parents wasn't what it should be. So we're just kind of living with the sense of we never measured up. Pastor Mike, I don't know why my father didn't love me very much. I don't know why he didn't invest in my life. I don't know why he didn't speak encouraging words to me. I don't know why my mother didn't do that. And so you live with this sense of you're always trying to prove yourself. You can be successful. You can be. And you know where that leads you? Misery. Total burnout. Because you can never find the rest you need there. I've already talked about this. Number five, we get our sense of identity from being a hard worker. This is what you want to be known for. This is what's going to be on your tombstone, right? She was such a hard worker. They worked all the time. And if you could sit back and hear all those comments, your heart would break because you know that's not really what life is all about. Here's another one. Number six, we fail to say no and we become overcommitted. So this is true for a number of us, right? We don't know when to say no, and we're always doing things that, like, they look okay, and intrinsically they don't look bad, and many times they're actually good things, but we're just doing so many things that we find we haven't spent any time with Christ. Busy, busy, busy. And we haven't just stopped and just focused on the fact that we are here with our Lord and Savior. And that he's not a theory. He's not just a theology. He's a person that you can sit in your chair at home and you can close your eyes and you can be with Jesus. We just forget that. Here's number seven, then we'll move on. I think this happens to us. We don't really want to slow down and examine what's going on in our hearts. Man, I bet this is true for a lot of us. Some of us, I would imagine, hate actually when it's quiet. When you're at home alone, it's just you and your thoughts. And so a lot of times what we do, rather than actually allowing the Spirit of God to help us to think about what's going on in our heart during those quiet times, we get busy. We go do something. Here's what you need to know. Is what is going on in your heart oftentimes is like has a subconscious power in your life. Many times there are things that you are doing in your life, things that you are pursuing, and because you're so busy, you haven't even done the hard work to understand, why am I so busy? What's going on in here that's actually driving me? We're not in tune with ourselves. We're not in tune with our heart. So we spend all of our life pursuing things, and we haven't even identified what it is that we're pursuing. Wouldn't it be a travesty to live your life like that? Wouldn't it be a travesty to get to the end of your days and to realize, even though you were religious, it was really all these other things that were most important to you? It wasn't Christ. It's because we have to do the hard work that's going on in here to understand what it is that our heart is really pursuing. What does your heart want the most lately? This past week. What did your heart want the most? What were you thinking about all the time? What were you talking about all the time? And then you ask yourself this question, did it give you rest? You can know then that it might be a good thing, but it's probably not the ultimate thing if it's not leading to rest. Let's end our time together this morning with this question. How do we find and experience rest? How do we find and experience rest? I want to reread intentionally verses 28, 29, and 30. If you have your Bible still open, I'm going to read this again, and we're going to talk through this just over a few minutes to unpack this and know how we experience this rest. I pray that this will be meaningful and practical for each one of us. 28, again, come to me, all who are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus, of course. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. I don't know if there's another place in Scripture where Jesus describes what his heart is like. Jesus is telling you what his heart is like. It's gentle and lowly. You could come to a person like this, couldn't you? He's not waiting to beat you up. He's not waiting to throw your offenses in your face. It's like, I'm gentle. I'm lonely. You could tell me anything. I'm not going to be shocked. So wonderful to hear that. For I'm gentle and lonely in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here's the first thing. How do we find and experience it this Christmas season and the rest of the year? The first one is this. We need to come to Jesus. We need to come to Jesus. I'm stating the obvious, I know. But what you're not going to experience rest if you just do another study, if you find another book, or if you find another self-help book, or if you find another video, if you find another philosophical guru, you're not going to find rest. Jesus is saying the only way it's going to happen is if you will humble yourself, slow down, and just spend time with Jesus. That's it. No other place to go. How simple that is. How beautifully simple. And what an amazing thing. As tired as you are this morning, Jesus is saying, just come. Come. I'm gentle and lowly. I want to be with you. What an invitation. What a Christmas invitation. So this rest is found in a person. Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing. We need to understand what it means to be yoked to Jesus. There's been a lot of writing done about this. A yoke was a heavy bar that fits over the neck of an ox so that it can pull a plow or a cart. So it's a heavy bar that would go over an ox, and sometimes this yoke would actually go over two animals. And the reason it would go over two animals is so that the stronger, let's take an ox for example, the stronger ox could actually do most of the work. And the younger, weaker ox could kind of learn from this older, more mature, stronger ox. And so what Jesus is saying, it's kind of like that. So all your striving, everything that you're working in life, you just need to lay that behind and you need to come to me and I have a yoke for you. And this yoke, I'm going to put it upon myself. It's my yoke and you are going to join with me. And Jesus is saying, he's the strong one. He's the one that's going to be doing all the hard work. In fact, he's already done all of the hard work. There's a Greek word. I love this word. And it's this, tetelestai. Tetelestai. Does that sound familiar to anyone? It's actually, if we were to put that into English, it would be, it is finished. It's what Jesus said, baby Jesus, as he grew up, as he's on the cross, bleeding and dying, he said, tetelestai, it is finished. It's one Greek word. What did he mean by that? He meant that all the work that you and I might have needed to do, all the righteousness that it would be impossible for you to earn, all the striving, all the good deeds that you could do, all the sin, all the shame, all the condemnation, he had taken it all when he died on the cross and he said, it's finished. And so this morning, we don't have to come to Jesus because we've kind of cleaned up our life. Or we've gotten our act together because he's died for all of that. So as he's offering us his yoke, he's saying, I've done all the work. I know you're the weak one, but I'm lowly, I'm gentle. And just watch me. Keep your eyes on me. I'm going to continue to do the hard work. We need to be yoked to Jesus. Number three, we experience this rest. We experience this rest by meditation on the fact that we are not under what I just mentioned. Sin, shame, and condemnation. I won't have you raise your hand, and I've shared with you before, this is something that I struggle with. I would imagine that there's a number of us that do. I wonder how many of us kind of walk around daily life with a kind of this guilty sense that we're not quite measuring up. Am I the only one that feels that way? How many of us kind of walk around with like, God puts up with me? I don't know if he really treasures me or delights in me. Because, Pastor Michael, I've been places and I've done things and I've thought things and I still think things that honestly I'm ashamed of. And so we just kind of go through life with a sense of that God is just tolerating us. That he's just kind of putting up with us. What would that kind of relationship do to you? It would wear you out, wouldn't it? That God is just tolerating you? God is not just tolerating you, no matter where you've been, no matter what your life is like, God absolutely delights in you. The greatest delight that he could ever have is you just coming and sitting at his feet and saying, God, I love you. This hasn't been a perfect week. This hasn't been a perfect life. I just want to spend time with you. God absolutely revels in that. That, brothers and sisters, that's where we find the rest. Going back to last week, that's where we find the peace too. So, my question for us is this. If you don't find, are you finding rest? And if you're saying, I'm not, it's really just a call this morning to come back to Jesus Christ. Let me wrap it up with this. Sometimes we still hold on to these, like, well, but if. Like, I could find the rest that I need if. Listen, if your spouse never changes, God is enough. If you never get the job you wanted, God is enough. Jesus is enough. If you are offended by others, Jesus is enough. If politics is making you angry, Jesus is enough. If life is not turning out the way you had hoped, Jesus is enough. Do you believe that? That's the place you have to get to. where you would say, life has not gone the way that I want. I haven't lived the way that I want. But I know this, Jesus Christ is enough. When you get there, when you get to that place, that is where you begin to experience His rest. Do you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to pray for us. And what I'm going to do, the worship team can come on up here. And what I'm going to do is real simple. I'm just going to pray for us. You can just remain seated. And I'm just going to pray that this Christmas season, that the rest that we're talking about would actually be a reality in your life and in my life. Let me pray for us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I do believe that as we even initially read those verses, that within most of us there was a sense of longing. We hear about this rest that comes from You. And God, within our spirit, we long for that. We want that. We crave that. God, I pray for each of my brothers and sisters here, all of my friends here this morning. God, I pray that no matter what they're going through, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how wonderful it is, no matter what they're going through, God, I pray that we would find You to be our treasure. That we would find You to be gentle and humble and loving. And God, that we would make time to just to be quiet, to sit at Your feet, and to find rest in You, to find what it is that our soul so desperately is seeking after, that we'd be satiated, that we would find the satisfaction in Your Son, Jesus Christ. And God, again, we just want to be reminded, Father, that Jesus is not just a theological idea. He's real. And Jesus, You are here with us right now. You are Emmanuel, and You will always be with Your people. God, may we sense that. May we experience that. And may that be where our rest comes from. We love You, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.